Introducing another in the series of radio dramas adapted from stories appearing in the American Weekly, the magazine which is distributed with all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. May we call your attention to the announcement which will be made at the conclusion of the dramatic presentation. It carries a message of vital importance, something which may affect your entire future. 12 minutes of waiting now may mean a lifetime of comfort. Wait for the announcement at the end of this program. The American Theater of Radio presents The Almost Perfect Crime. It was staged in the studios of the General Broadcasting Company at New York. For weeks, the police, being dissatisfied with the verdict of the coroner's jury, who exonerated Edward Shea of the murder of Grace Foster, his beautiful co-ed sweetheart, have been collecting circumstantial evidence with which to bring him before the grand jury. As our scene opens, the suspect, unaware of the net closing round him, is in his room on the campus, comfortably reclining before his radio set, enjoying the contents of a smart novel.
Coming in here like this.
Oh, I just want to have a few words with you, young fella.
I see. So you just walk in as if you owned the place. Well, you can turn around and go out as if you didn't.
I see. Well, just take a look at this.
Police.
Weren't expecting us, were you?
Just what do you mean?
Suppose you thought we just kind of forgot the little affair of Grace Foster, huh?
All that was all settled at the coroner's inquest. Nothing further to be done, Irma. Unfortunate and all that, but...
But just a couple of little details overlooked, that's all.
Oh, I guess you men have got your wires crossed someplace.
Oh, no. No, not us. If there's any wire crossing done, you're the one that's been doing it. The crack you made a while back about everything being settled at the coroner's inquest is all haywire.
What do you mean?
Just this. There's one or two little details that some of us boys on the force ain't exactly satisfied with, and... We've been doing a little checking up, that's all.
Oh, yes? On what authority?
Best there is, suspicion and circumstantial evidence.
I see.
And add to that the fact that Ed Stevens here is half-cousin to Miss Foster, and maybe you can understand why the boys down at headquarters are taking a little interest in the case.
And on the strength of that, you come breaking into my home, eh?
Well, now, you can call it that if you want to. We try to get a rise out of you by knocking on the door, but... With that radio going full blast, there wasn't a chance of getting you to hear it, so we just came in.
I see. Well, as I told you before, you can get to...
Now, listen here, young fella. Don't be getting tough about it. Well, we got enough evidence on you to swing you. So the best thing for you to do is to take it easy and just answer a few questions that we're going to put to you.
And suppose I refuse to answer?
Well, now, I kind of got a sneaking hunch that you'll answer all right.
Strong-arm stuff, eh?
Well, no, I don't believe we'll have to get down to that, son. That is, so long as you come clean. Well, be okay if we sit down?
Oh, I suppose so. There's enough chairs.
Thanks. Oh, sit down, boys.
Right.
Now, first off, we'd like to know a little bit about what took place the night you and Grace Foster drove out to Willow Springs, the night of the murder.
Oh, that was all explained at the coroner's inquest.
Now, we ain't asking about what was explained somewhere else. We're asking a new set of questions.
Well, if you must know, I called for her at her home about 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
We drove out to the springs, parked the car just below the boathouse, and sat there talking.
Oh, doing a little talking, huh? Well, now, what were you talking about, son?
Beautiful evening, isn't it, Eddie?
Yes, well.
Eddie, do you think your parents are going to object to our marriage?
Oh, I don't see why they should, dear. And if they do, what of it?
I know. We could go ahead and fight their objections. But it would make things so much happier all around if they approved.
But they will approve. Why shouldn't they? You're just about the swellest thing there is. Aren't you?
Do you think so, Eddie?
Like to be told about it, don't you, honey?
Of course I do, Phyllis.
Sweet.
We're going to be awfully happy, aren't we, Eddie?
Sure we are. Well, I've got some great plans for what we're going to do as soon as school's out. Say, listen. We've done a lot of talking about what my folks are going to say about our getting married. But how about yours?
They're going to be almost as happy as we are about it. You know, I think Mother has a sort of an idea about it, too.
Well, that's going to make everything just grand all around. Let's get back to town and see my folks.
Tonight?
Sure, tonight. No time like the present. Might as well know just where we stand.
All right, sweetheart. Let's go.
Then what, son?
We drove away from Willow Springs, got out onto the highway, and started toward town.
Well, was Grace Foster happy?
Happy? Sure she was happy. Why shouldn't she be? Swell girl like that, just about to be married to somebody like me?
And were you happy, son?
Oh, say, that's about the nuttiest question you've asked. Of course I was happy. No reason why I shouldn't have been.
Oh, I just wanted to know, that's all. Now, will you just run back over the events leading up to and including the shooting?
I don't care to go over that again.
I said, will you go back over the events leading up to and including the shooting?
Well, we were driving along State Highway 33 coming towards town.
I see.
We were about 500 yards from the railroad underpass. Happy, honey?
Supremely.
The same. Too much wind, Precious? Shall I close the window?
No, I love it.
Uh-oh. What's this?
Well, it looks like a lady in distress.
Car broke down. Maybe tire trouble. See what she wants. Anything we can do for you, lady? Hey, what's this?
Shut up.
Say, what is this? A hold-up? Hey.
Oh!
Oh, my God, what have you done? Grace! Grace! Are you hurt? You've shot her! You...
Shut up the squawking and hand over your dough.
You didn't have to shoot the girl to get that.
Hand over the dough.
Hey, what are you...
Throw him back in the car.
Hey, you can't get away with this.
Let the punk have it.
Oh.
And then what happened?
After the holdup had shot me in the shoulder, they threw me back into my car and ran over to what looked like a small delivery truck and drove away.
Mm-hmm. Where was the woman who flagged you down in the first place?
I don't know. I guess she went back to the car.
All right. And what happened after they drove away?
Well, bleeding profusely from the wound in my shoulder, I managed to get my car going and started on to town. I put my arm around Grace. She'd sagged way down in the seat.
I see.
I tried to drive fast. I didn't know she was dead until we reached the hospital. That's all. You know the rest as well as I do.
Yes. Yes, I guess we do.
What do you mean?
Just this. The truck driver, John Wiggins.
Well?
Well, what about him?
Never heard of him in my life before.
You didn't, eh? Well, now, he's the fellow that you bribed to say that he'd been held up and robbed of his truck by a gang such as you described as having held you up and murdered Miss Grace.
I know nothing about it. I refuse to be accused of that.
Oh, well, all right, then. We'll let that lay for now. Did you ever stop to figure that the folks in the farmhouse that said they'd heard the shot just about the time you said couldn't have heard him all the way down at the bypass?
Oh, that doesn't mean a thing. Sound carries a long way at night.
Maybe so. Yes, but not that far. Then another thing is, from where the bullet went into the cushion of the car, the fellow that fired it, if he was outside the car, would have to have been left-handed and twisted his wrist into a kind of unnatural position.
Oh, say, let's cut out all the amateur detecting. All that you've said doesn't mean a thing.
No, no, maybe not, and maybe so. Perhaps this does.
What's that?
It's the pearl-handle revolver we found in the weeds alongside the highway about a mile from the bypass.
Well?
This gun belongs to a student over to State University.
Which one?
Now, you ought to know, son. But anyhow, the bullet taken out of Miss Foster's heart fits the discharge shell in this revolver.
Senator, you can't frame me with a lot of circumstantial evidence.
No?
No, I won't stand for it. That gun and all the rest of it doesn't mean a thing.
Well, we'll see about that. Now, it was kindly generally understood that your relationship with Miss Foster had always been what the court calls conventional, weren't it?
Well, I mean,
there hadn't been anything...
I refuse to allow you to talk like that. My relationship with her was that of any gentleman, with the lady he has chosen to marry.
Now, take it easy, young fella. Take it easy.
Well, I've stood all I care to of this. Now, get out of here and leave me alone. Go on, get out.
Well, when we go, you'll be going with us, so don't be in a hurry.
You can't arrest me. You've no warrant, no evidence.
Up to now, maybe it has been kind of circumstantial, but, see who that is, Jim.
Say, what right have you to go to my door to receive my guest?
Oh, never mind, young fellow, never mind. I'm in charge here. Who is it, Jim?
The guy with a note.
Bring it over here.
There it is.
Take a look at this.
What is it?
A note from the coroner's office telling us that Miss Foster's body has been exhumed, dug up. And the autopsy shows that she had been an expectant mother.
Oh, my God. No, it isn't. It couldn't be.
I guess that's motive enough, ain't it? Take him away, Jim.
Oh, it can't be true. I didn't do it, honestly. I didn't.
You're just like all the rest of them, young fella.
What do you mean?
You overlook little details.
I had no details to overlook.
Oh, yes, you did, son. Yes, you did. Just one. If you'd have showed up at Grace Foster's funeral instead of staying away, you'd have had almost the perfect crime.
Will the grand jury convict Edward Shea? Is he guilty of the crime of which he is accused? The campus town in which he lives is divided as to their opinions. Edward Shea is well liked by some and distrusted by others. Read the interesting details of this case in next Sunday's issue of the American Magazine, the magazine which is distributed with all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. Now, here we are in the home stretch of the American Weekly's great $1,000 a year for life competition. Not often do you get a chance to win a life income for jotting down a moment's thought. We hope you haven't neglected this wonderful opportunity. The fourth and last coupon of the competition will be printed in next Sunday's American Weekly, issue of October 8th, which is distributed every week with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. If you missed your chance by failure to get the first three coupons, we're sorry. But, just a moment. Perhaps you can still recoup. Get next Sunday's Hearst newspaper and read the final announcement. It will tell you how you can get the first three coupons, and even at this late day, you can enter the contest and have your chance at the Fortune for Life Awards. You will have 15 days after next Sunday in which to get your coupons. Fill them in with your suggestions for a slogan and mail them to the editor of the American Weekly. But you will have to get busy. Make it snappy, or you won't get in under the wire before the expiration day and hour. This is the fourth and last call. And here's success to you. It has been a great competition and great fun for all.